Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Ranch. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Lord Jesus, we come before you today on this day that you made possible, the day that you proved to the world who you were, the day when you rose and fulfilled the gospel. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come to worship you, to sing praises for you, to hear the words that you have for us today. And Lord, we ask that you open up our hearts and our minds so that we can receive and understand and gain knowledge to walk in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
For he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory.
Sing of your love. morning. I'm not used to starting first. But I wanted to take a few minutes. Not a lot of your time. I know a lot of others have a lot of things to say. And this being Resurrection Day, you're going to hear a lot of people talk about Easter today and all that. The resurrection of our Lord was his seal of promise. Everything he did, from his birth to his death, was worth nothing if he had not resurrected from the dead. And it was that resurrection that is our promise. It is our guarantee. One of the things that I've noticed about Christians, when they come to the Lord, there's an excitement, there's a joy, there's a relief, there's a lifting of a weight. They realize the forgiveness of sin, the grace of God, and what he has for them. But I've been around this ministry for a while now, and it's given me a chance to observe Christians over the long haul. And I've noticed that there comes a time with many Christians that they seem to get burdened again. And they don't seem to understand how to get out of that. You see, it's easy to believe God to forgive us for all those sins we did in the past, before we were saved. I mean, that's the gospel, or part of it. I want to tell you about the part of the gospel that's mainly left untold. Salvation is not something that you receive one time, and that's it. It is something that begins in you and continues on till you meet the Lord. It has a finite beginning. You say, "Lord, come into my heart." But it doesn't stop there. It continues on. It continues on until your last breath in this body. And a scripture that shows that to me clearer than any scripture I can count on is found in Luke chapter 10. And you can read the story of the Good Samaritan. Go through that story. See, I was the one that was on the side of the road. religious people, they didn't want anything to do with me. And pretty much told me so. I was not good enough for them. The ministers of the day definitely didn't want anything to do with me. It took Jesus Christ in his love to reach down bind up my wounds and cover me with that salve that is his blood that heals, covers, and forgives all things. And I want to read this little part for you. My eyes will let me. Verse 34. Went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest for, when I come again, I will repay thee. That is the greatest part of the gospel right there. See, we come to the Lord and then we think we have to measure up to be worthy of his salvation. And if we fall short of it, then somehow or another, his salvation isn't good for us anymore. We've blown our chance. Actually, I had a preacher tell me that one time. He said, once I become a Christian, if I sin, I'm lost. There's no salvation after that. And he tried to use Hebrews. What is that? 11 or 6? Whatever it is. But here he clearly says, if he owes you any more, I'll pay that too. So when I die, I know that I can rest assured that he will pay the final price for my soul, and it will not be lost, because he is a greater God than any other God, and he is above any other God. There is none like him, none. So I will continue to serve him any way I can. And I hope you will too.
Amen.
Give the Lord a cheer. Today's a great day, amen. Today's another great day. Today I've kind of been reflecting and it's hard knowing that there's so many times that the Lord was with me, was trying to show me, was trying to open my eyes, and I hardened my heart, and I stood away from Him to do my own thing. The Lord had a job for me, and the only thing I could see at the time was what I wanted. The things I wanted would lead to nothing, no matter how hard I tried. It took me getting to a point in my life when I was down to nothing. When literally I had nothing left. That I turned to Him and said, "If you're real, prove it." That's what I said. Pretty arrogant. But He proved it. He showed me. He showed me what I could be. He showed me the things that He wanted me to be. He showed me the things that I needed to do. And I thank Him for it every day. Even on those certain days when I don't really want to thank Him, because I fall back and want to do my own thing. But as Davey said, He forgives us. He's constantly there to forgive us of our sins each and every day. Because as long as we're in this flesh, that sin nature is still there. But I praise Him for the opportunity that He has given me to know that I have a chance, that there is a possibility that I can be with Him in glory forever. No matter how rotten I can be on this earth. And there are times when I can be a little rotten. But praise the Lord for His grace. Thank you, Jesus.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise the Lord. That's worth a cheer. Yeah. Amen. I think we're going to turn to Isaiah 55 today. And as you guys are going there, this is a chapter that lays out a number of things. But one of the points that it ultimately gets to is about God's ways. And we also sing a song, both a song that's out of a psalm, Psalm 25, for those who don't know, where we sing that song, "Shew me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation." And we sing a related song that relates to something the Lord spoke to Brother Davy years ago when he was in Vermont, a place he really didn't want to be. And he was coming down a side of a hill known locally as Earhart Hill. And it's a road that's a dirt road and kind of windy, and it frequently gets knocked out. He was coming down through a storm and had a whiteout in the car as the Lord came unto him, and he asked him, you know, "As for my people Israel, I showed them my power, but as for my servant Moses, I showed him my ways. Richard, will you learn my ways?" And if I don't know what Richard would say about this, but that was probably, it was more than 25 years ago because it happened before I came to know the Lord. But my guess is, as when he said yes, the way his life has turned out since then has been just a wee bit different than what he was expecting when he said yes.
Amen.
And Isaiah answers the question to that for us over here in Isaiah 55. But one of the elements in it that is very important about that question that the Lord asked him, he said, Richard, will you learn my ways? See, Richard was talking about how we get into this place as Christians. You know, you're a newborn Christian, you're excited, you're full of vim and vigor and everything, and then you seem to get bogged down. You seem to get bogged down. You don't seem to get traction in the Lord. And one of the reasons is our will, is it to know his ways or not? Because if it is your will to know his ways, then you will be willing to go through the process by which you do. You won't fight it. And if you were to look at us as a ministry, we're a ministry that we know that the Lord has called us to walk as one in him. We know that. We also know that we're not there yet. But one of the things you cannot avoid if you're going to get there is you cannot avoid, first of all, the responsibility to accept that charge. And with that responsibility comes the willingness to receive correction so that you can come into accordance with his ways, which are plainly not our ways. And that latter point I want to bring up, because if we can get that latter point right, you will get traction in the Lord, and he will honor your decision mightily. And partaking of that divine nature, which is what you were talking about there, Bob, you were talking about your own badness and his goodness, you can partake of it right now. You can partake of it right now. You can partake of it day by day. And as you partake of it, you can come to the end that Paul came to, where he said, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished my course. I am ready to be offered up. Peter said the same thing later in his life, where he acknowledged the Apostle Paul, and he said that he was ready to put off this tabernacle, referring to his body, even as the Lord had shown him. See, they are there as examples that we can be there too. They were just men. No different than us. So turn to Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Well, basically, that pretty much covers just about all of us, right? If one thing we're short of out here is people with a lot of money, right? But nonetheless, in spite of that, we are thirsty. We are hungry. We desire these things of God. And we can have them because they don't cost us anything. We just have to ask. That forgiveness Richard was talking about, he knows that that price will be paid. That day is today. I don't care what it is that you have done. That price is paid for you today. It's paid for you tomorrow. It's paid for you so that you can get up today and go forward in what he has for you. Not being burdened at all, not a little bit, nothing for that which has come before. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. See, here it brings its focus to the fact that he's talking about our soul. See, we go spend it on all these other things looking to fill that place that only he can fill. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. All right, Phil brought this up about how when we look at David and we look at it where the gospel crystallized for David was after David had committed adultery and murder to cover it up. That's when the truth of the gospel crystallized for David and the Lord showed David himself on the cross. That is Jesus on the cross. And watch what he says of him. Behold, I have given him. See, he was a gift to us. I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. See, David was given to us to show us the way out. Isn't that what a leader does? You find yourself in a predicament. You have no way out. You can't figure it out. David was given to show us the way out. That there's nothing that we can do that is too big for God. Nothing. Now watch. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let me tell you something, folks. There is not a person listening to this broadcast right now or present physically here at Grace Ranch that the Lord is not nigh right at this very moment. Nigh, that means near to you. He is right here for whatever you have need of. Whatever it is. But the other part we have to do is then hear. See, David was not only a leader to us in that, but he was also a commander. He was the one who wrote that way, "Shew me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation." You can pray just as David prayed. If you mean it, as David meant it, God will answer. He will show you his ways. He will teach you his paths. He will lead you in his truth. He will. Let the wicked forsake his way. This is the part we don't like. We don't like to acknowledge our own wickedness. Bob was acknowledging his, praise God. But we have to, if we're going to acknowledge our wickedness, then we also have to be willing to turn and learn a new way, right? Watch this. Let the wicked forsake his way. That means give it up. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul did? He considered his way that had given him position and honor and all of these things, he counted it as but dung. Does not that sound like somebody who has chosen to forsake that way that he had cleaved to with all his might for years? Sure sounds like it to me. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. I mean, think about it. Folks who are out there a lot spend a lot of time on their own. How much time do you spend getting all wrapped up and caught up in your own thoughts? I mean, wow. I know some people who get completely wound up in their own thoughts. And the fact of the matter is, it says, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. In other words, get rid of those. Your thoughts stink. I mean, your thoughts are the source of most problems you've had in your life. Why do you think we're to put on the mind of Christ? Let God's thoughts be the ones that animate us, not our own. Our own are the ones that get us messed up. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. I like that because that's talking about what David was talking about. He knows that that price, whatever it is, will be paid. Whatever it is, will be paid. Let him return unto the Lord. See, when you return unto the Lord, it's as simple as turning back and saying, help me, Lord. It's that simple. It's not big and complex. You don't need a PhD to figure out how to say help. You just say it. Help. I've gone astray. I know I'm not in the right place. I know I don't know how to get out of the place I am, but I know I'm not in the right place. Help me, Lord. Because, look, truth be told, is there a single one of us who, when we're in the wrong place, isn't pretty much aware of it? I mean, you realize it. You have something that's like an internal compass or something in you that says, I know this just isn't quite right. You know it. So you go back to him. You go back to him. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Look at that. It doesn't say might. Doesn't say should. Says will. See, that is the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord is to extend mercy. He doesn't want to hold these things against you. He doesn't want you to be hung up in them anymore. He doesn't want that. He wants you to get traction in him. It is his will to then have mercy upon you and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, abundantly pardon. You get abundantly pardoned when you have abundantly offended, right? Isn't that when you need abundant pardon? That's when I need abundant pardon. I don't know about you. And being an attorney, I know clients who need abundant pardon. But that's what he has. Abundant pardon. Now, this is the final part I wanted to get to. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. See, he already knows this about us. He already knows that our thoughts are not his thoughts. Why do you think he said forsake him up there? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So if we're going to achieve that separation of being holy unto the Lord and walking in his divine nature, this we have to get right. Our thoughts indeed are not his thoughts. Our ways indeed are not his ways. Do you, is it your will to want to learn his thoughts? To want to know his ways? If it is, he will show them to you. He will. And he will forgive you all the fouled up, stupid, idiotic, unbelievable, concocted manners in which we have messed up. Every single last way in which you have messed up. Without exception, every one of them, he will abundantly pardon right now. Right now. Then, and this is the part, he says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. See, that's a promise of God to us, if we will but believe him for it. Isn't that same promise that we've been hearing about receiving that faith of Christ by which we are saved? That faith of Christ? Let his word, which comes out of his mouth, accomplish its purpose in you. All you have to do is yield to it, and the way you yield to it is you humble yourself. And you don't get all hung up about the fact that you're learning another new way from the way you knew. That's going to be an ongoing revelation, folks. It's going to be an ongoing revelation from the beginning that Brother Davey was talking about unto the end. It's going to be an ongoing revelation in your life. Praise God. That means you got something to look forward to today and again tomorrow and the next day. And He is well able to accomplish that work in each of us. Amen. Amen.
Bye.
ever dreamed. I'm learning to rest in Him. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Thank you. I will follow
all of your ways,
all your ways.
I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I love to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise. And I'm free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
Praise the Lord. Well, folks, I would ask that you join me this day. I think this day is as good as any day to draw a line and to receive that mercy and that grace that we have need of right now. Lord, may you just take and wash away all of those things, Lord, that have offended, that have been wrong. And Lord, this day, may we go forward in that freedom May we go forward and indeed learn your ways, that we may go forward as one in you, Lord, that the world may know that your Father sent you to die for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.